Welcome our guest today. And I would invite you to turn to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to read verse 1 down through verse 8. My text will be the first part of verse 8. James 4, 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you know what it's like to fall into a routine? You do the same thing over and over and over, and much of your response is by habit. Now, you can do without thinking, and you can speak without forethought, and often you do, not realizing that you offend and belittle, criticize, hurt, or ignore others, even those whom you love. Often life is dull and boring when you fall in a routine. Thoughts become self-centered. Your life becomes a disappointment. There's just no joy, and it's very boring. Life becomes perfunctory. Now, that word is a good word, and it means, and I quote, it is done as a matter of duty or custom, without thought, attention, or genuine feeling. That's perfunctory. And if you're in a rut, if you're in a routine, your life can be perfunctory. And you know this can happen to a Christian also. Even in spiritual areas, church becomes drudgery. Reading the Bible sparks no interest and doesn't hold your attention. Preaching is dull and lifeless. Prayer is virtually non-existent. Thoughts of heaven and of the Lord, they're rare. Oh, you go through the motions and you're the epitome of Christianity, as it were. But there's just no spark to your Christianity. True heartfelt emotion and spiritual feeling have all but disappeared. Now, it would seem that the description of the Ephesians over in the book of Revelations rings true for you, where it says you've left your first love. Well, it's from this perspective that I approach our text. And it is my objective to consider this topic afresh and anew. I'm thinking of verse 8, the first part of the verse, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. So it's my desire today to stir the coals, to relight the pilot, and perhaps by God's grace your heart will be warmed. Now, I realize, if anybody keeps track of these things, that I preached from this passage a little over 3 years ago, but my message today will vary greatly from that message, so I have no problem looking into this verse again in a very real way. And by the way, I intend to be very up close and personal. And so I pray that I might have the right spirit and you might have a receptive spirit. We want to consider today what I've entitled, Draw Near. Draw Near. Let God speak to your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here. Lord, our heart goes out to those that would desire to be here and cannot. We ask that you bless them, heal the sick, comfort those that are in trouble and affliction. Lord, you just know every need. And Lord, thank you for these that are here. And we ask that you would set apart our thoughts from the things of the world, that we might dwell upon you and you alone, that we might focus on you, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray for grace and mercy to speak that which you've laid upon my heart. I pray for leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that you would take these things and apply them as only you can. I pray that your will be done today in strengthening your people and in saving the lost. And we pray that your grace would be prevailing in our service today. Thank you for being here. And Lord, we honor you with it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. James 4:8. draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw near. Now, by way of context, just want to point a little bit to what we find the passage. In the text itself, we have the words translated into the English, draw nigh. This comes from a single word in the original language, which actually is an adverb in its root sense, and the word means near. It is to be close at hand. Now, the words draw nigh here is in the imperative form. And so that means it's a command, and it means to approach, to draw near. Very simple, isn't it? And so realize that that's what this word means. Very simple. But don't let the simplicity distract you. Draw near. Now, it also says in the latter part of the verse, of that sentence there, if you draw near to God, God will draw nigh to you. Same word, different application. It's not in the imperative, it's just in the active. But it's the matter that if you're commanded to draw near, but if you do draw near, God will draw near to you. And don't you want to be near God today? I think as a Christian you want to. I think there's a desire in your heart. God dwells in your heart by His Holy Spirit. I think there's a natural desire in every Christian to want to be near God. And so we're told in the text here to draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Now, I mentioned this is in a command form, and the reason is apparently that there was a necessity for them to draw nigh. They're not as close as they should be. So James writes and says, draw near, draw near. And he commands them to do so. But with this command, I would also surmise that implied in this is the opportunity to draw nigh. If James commands and says, draw near to God, that means we can draw near. And that's good news, isn't it? Because if you fall away, if we use the term backslide, if you're cold today in the things of God, oh, you're saved, but you're just not walking with the Lord like you ought to. The good news is you're commanded to draw near, and you can draw near. That's exciting. That's an encouragement. And so we are told to draw near to God, and He will draw nigh to us. Now, clearly, when this command is given, there's an expected response as well. And that is, James is expecting the reader to react to this, to respond. If he makes a command, he wants them to listen. And if these people are going to listen, and if we're going to listen today, then, and we're going to address some elements in just a moment, but very simply, as we consider this context, we're going to have to assess our distance from God. If we're going to draw nigh to God, we have to realize where we're at. Are we right there, or are we over here, or are we over here? What's our distance from the Lord? And so we have to assess our distance from Him, and then we ought to desire to want to draw near, to be close to Him. And then, of course, and if you consider this in the context, we have to position ourselves properly if we're going to draw near to God. This is going to mean submission to God. In verse 7, and when you read through the passage, he's dealing with people that are having a difficult time dealing with temptation and the troubles and the trials of life. And he says, well, you know, the natural man in verse 5, the spirit lusts the envy. It's just natural for us to want to go away and to follow the things of life and the things of the world. But I like verse 6, he giveth more grace. And so that means, dear Christian friend, as you go through this life and you struggle with the affairs of life and living a Christian life, remember, he giveth more grace. And I'm glad for the grace of God, because I cannot serve God, I cannot live for God, I cannot be faithful to God apart from His grace that He gives me day by day. I cannot fight against sin. I cannot do what I need to do apart from the grace of God. So He tells them He gives more grace, but what we find in the latter part of verse 6 is that God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. So as long as you think you can do it and you can handle it without God, you're not going to get what you need. So we find that the preparation for drawing near to God is, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You want to prepare yourself for drawing near to God? Submit to God. Are you willing to bow the knee and surrender to Him? But you'll also find a second aspect of that in verse 7, the latter part of the text. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So to position yourself properly, you submit to God, and you're going to have to be in opposition to evil. And what is it you will like to do? What is it you choose to do? Well, he says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And so make the assessment, see where you're at, desire to do it, and do it. We must act. I think that's the intent of James, to see the need and take that step toward God. And again, the promise is very clear in the passage. You draw near to God, God will draw near to you. So what I would like to do is I want to give you some elements in drawing near to God. And before I do that, I want to give you some evidence of the relationship. So as I read these verses to you and I have them written out, you don't need to turn to them, but it'll give you an idea and give you a sense that, you know what, if I was close to God as I ought to be, these things would be evident in my life. And so that's the intent, to give you an idea here for a matter of comparison. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit." 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And you say, "Well, wait a minute, preacher. I can do all those things, but yet be away from God. I can pray and I can be distant, though. I can read and I not get everything that I need, but I can still do that. And I can be obedient, but still fall off and away from God." And backslide, well, yeah, we can, can't we? But the point is that how far are you from God today? In your prayer life, in your study life, in your obedient life, where are you in position to the Lord? Is there a need for you to draw nigh? Well, let me continue. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, very familiar passage. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Where are you at in your relationship to God? Are you submitted to Him? Are you surrendered? Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." John 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Do you have any joy, Christian? Do you have any joy? Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Do you realize to be near to God, it takes a matter of confession? Because we do fall. We do come up short. We do fail. And we need to confess. We need to keep things right with our Lord. John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." We must abide in the Lord. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and verse 19, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what it's like to draw near? Do these verses apply to drawing near and being close to the Lord? Yes, they do. And so I think these things give us evidence of our relationship, and we can make assessment to see, well, how close am I with the Lord at this time? Well, these elements that I submit unto you, I'm just approaching this subject from a logical approach. From my perspective, understanding of the Scriptures, and what we see in the text, the imperative to draw near to God, there are 8 things I want to list for you. First of all, I think there needs to be an insight. Insight. Simply that means you have to see the need to draw near. In your Christian walk, in your Christian life, how are you with the Lord? How's your walk today? Are you close to Him? Would you say, "Yes, I'm walking with the Lord and I'm one in the Spirit with Him"? Or would you say, "Well, you know, I'm kind of fledging a little bit and I'm not where I ought to be"? Or would you say, "You know, I'm kind of cold and distant, I'm walking afar off and I really don't talk to Him like I ought. I know I'm in church today, but I'm still not really where I ought to be." Or you say, "Well, I'm really backslidden and God's just one of the remote things in my mind and I'm just here today. I don't know why, but I'm here." I don't know where you're at today, and only God knows. And I pray that He would reveal it to you. But if you're away from God today, and the command is draw nigh to God, then you have to make an assessment. You have to have an insight of where you're at in connection with the Lord this very day, this very moment. I could have used the word inspect. By commercial trade, I'm a quality control inspector. I know what it is to inspect. Sometimes you have to have an inspection of your life, an introspection. Look inside. See who you are. See where you're at. See what's going on inside. How are you walking with the Lord today? You have to have an insight. Secondly, there must be an interest. That means then, of course, the desire to draw near. Have an inclination. Have an intention. intend to follow after Him. You see, you can look and see that you're away from God and that God's here and I'm over here. But if you have no desire, no interest to move from there to here, then you will stay where you're at. It reminds me of something I heard many, many years ago about a man and a wife driving down the road in the car. And this is in the old times when they had bucket seats. And in the old times in bucket seats, the girl would usually slide over and sit beside the guy as he drove down the road. And so they've been married for some time, and they're driving down the road, and of course he's on his side, and she's over there plastered against the door. And if it wasn't for being locked, she'd probably be out the door. I mean, they're so far apart as you can get in the car, and they're driving down the road, and she looks over and she says, "Honey, how come we never sit together in the car anymore?" And he just looks at her and says, "Well, I'm not the one that moved." And that's the point, isn't it? Sometimes we get far away from God, but we're the ones that move. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. If you want to sit together, you're going to have to move over. You have to have an interest. And I just challenge you today to have some insight. See where you're at. And have an interest. If you see yourself away from God, cold and distant, are you willing to move? Are you willing to go back? Are you willing to make it fresh? I told you I'd be personal, didn't I? I'm going to meddle today. Well, you know, we see this, we have an interest. Then, if you do have that interest, then you need to inquire. That's my third point. There's 8 points I'm giving you. You need to inquire. That is, discover how to draw near. One might ask, what does it take to draw near? I was asking myself these questions earlier on last week as I pondered this. Lord, how am I in my walk with you? And am I really where I ought to be? Am I true? Am I what I should be doing? Am I really coming from a heart value? Or am I doing this just because this is what I do? I had to ask myself, all right, God, this is where I'm at. What do I need to do to draw near? What do I need to do to make that change? I need to move back. I need to move back. And so you need to inquire, okay? Wherever you're at, and you have to make that assessment. I can't make it for you. Your spouse can't make it for you. You have to do it yourself. You take the assessment. You see where you're at. If you have an interest in returning to God, you need to cry out to God and say, God, what is it I need to do to draw near to you? Because you might be good in this category or that category. Maybe you're doing well in prayer and you're doing well in Bible study. But you know what? You just really struggle with the church thing. Or the tithing thing or whatever. You know, whatever it could be about serving the Lord. You might be struggling in several areas. God, what does it take for me to draw near to you? So you have to inquire. And then here's the major point when I think about drawing near to God. And my fourth point, and it's invest. If you have a desire to return to God and you find out what you need to do, then you're going to have to invest in your relationship to God. You're going to have to put forth some effort. Could have used the word involve. Take an active portion. And under this, I have 4 things. If you're following along on the outline, it should be very simple for you to follow that. We'll see who we are, where we're at, what we need to do. And so then we're going to do it. So we want to invest in it. And there are 4 things that I think is necessary for us. And I'm sure there are others if we give more thought. But I'm just listing 4 things. If I want to draw near to God, that I must do and that you must do. 1 is to interface. 2 is to interact. 3 is to invigorate. 4 is to be intimate. Here's the first thing, interface. What do I mean by that? We use that term in our society, don't we, to interface? We interface one with another. That's to communicate with. I know that's a very simple explanation, very trite, but that's what it is. You need to interface with God. When's the last time you interfaced with God? Wouldn't that be in prayer? Spend some time alone with Him, speaking to Him, giving Him your heart. Interface. If you want to return to the Lord, if you want to draw near to God, you're going to have to invest. And that investment is going to have to include a matter of interfacing with God. You have to get alone with God. You have to speak with Him and let Him speak with you. And so you interface with God. Let Him speak to you through His Word, and you speak to Him in prayer. Interface with God. Secondly, I think you need to interact. Now, I know in the very strictest sense, it's very difficult to do because when we use the word interact, that means to do things with, doesn't it? And so I can do things with my spouse, I can do things with my children, I can do things with you. We can interact one with another. I know in a spiritual aspect that's a little bit difficult for us to comprehend and to grasp, but you know, if you're saved, Jesus Christ lives in your heart. And God dwells there by His Spirit. And we can interact with Him. And so we can do things with. As you leave the house, recognize God's with you. As you go about the daily activities of life, recognize the Lord's in your heart. And you want to do it for Him and for His glory. Interact with Him. Talk to Him. God, okay, what should I do? What choice should I make here? Interact with God. And so do things with, or to do things for. This is more easier for us to connect with because we know what it is to be obedient to God. And so we can do things for God and please God. Well, that's an interaction. And if I want to draw near to God, I'm going to have to interface with Him and I'm going to have to interact with Him. But then I also believe, thirdly, that we need to invigorate. And you know what that word means, don't you? It means to enliven. Enliven the relationship. Now, I'm having a difficult time because I have a couple things I want to mention a little bit later. I'm trying not to jump ahead. And so I'm just trying to specifically speak about the things of God. But I'll tell you, how real is this to you? How lively is the things of God to you? Your service, your labors, you come to church. Is this humdrum to you? Is this boring? Is this, why am I here? Why do I do this? And I don't get anything out of it. I mean, it's all kind of dead to you, cold, distant. I tell you, you remember the times when it used to be fresh and real and live to you and you couldn't wait and you were excited? Ah, I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to fellowship with God's people. And I can't wait to hear the Word of God and sing the praises of the Lord. I look forward to that. Remember when you used to have that? Now it's just kind of like, oh, well, let's drag in. Let's get there. I think if we need to draw near to God, that we need to invigorate. Put some life into it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not the charismatic, hop-around, jumpy kind of person. I'm not telling you when we sing at the end of the song that I want you dancing down the aisles and rolling down the pews. Now, if you want to do that, that's up to you. I don't do that, and we don't do that here. And if you do, you're just going to go where they do. But that's not the kind of invigoration I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heartfelt livelihood from the inside. That you know what? This means something to me. This is real to me. And I'm excited about it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about exterior activity. Invigorate. And then the last thing, of course, is the word intimate. Personal, close, relationship. How much do you know about Jesus Christ? Now I know that He knows everything about you because He's God. But how much do you know about Him? You know, if you're going to have a good relationship and a close relationship, you're going to need to have an intimate relationship. Make it personal. Again, my mind wants to jump ahead, but I'm trying to say right here, draw near to God. What have I given you? I said, we need to have an insight, we need to have an interest, we need to inquire. Once we know, this is what we need to do, we need to invest. If we're going to invest, what do we need to invest? And we need to interface, interact, invigorate, and have an intimate relationship with. Well then, if we do that, we draw near to God, what we want to do is, and this is number five, increase. Increase. No status quo. No stagnation. I've been in church for a long, long time. Lord saved me back in 1974. And I've been going to church ever since. And I've been attending the services. And I've prepared for the ministry and all that. And I've walked with the Lord. I know what it's like to reach a plateau. I know what it's like to get to a place and stagnate. And you just go through the motions. And you might read your Bible every day. And you might have a private time every day. And you're talking to the Lord. But it's just stagnant. Nothing real. Nothing live about it. You just do it because that's what you do. And there's a very real danger in that, by the way. And so, increase. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, you are. That's great, but desire to increase. God, I want my relationship to increase. And then I would say number six, to insist. Make a point of it to have a vibrant relationship. You know, if you're going to invest, you have to make it a point. You have to have to put into it, and you have to insist that this is what I am going to do. You know, many of you have a retirement, and you're going to sacrifice. You're going to do everything that you can. You're putting into it right now because you know in the end you're going to draw this out. And so you're insisting that no matter what's going on, this is where it goes because you want a return. And what I'm saying to you is we need to insist that, you know, this vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, this close walk with Him is important to me. And so I must insist on it. I want to have a vibrant relationship. Christian friend, do not be satisfied with a cold, distant walk with Jesus Christ. Want something more. Want something more. And then number seven, I think there ought to be an intent, and that is keep it going. Don't let it slack off. Don't let it cool down. And if it stagnates for a little while, which is likely to happen because we're humans and we're frail and that we're nothing but dust and ashes, it can be revitalized, but just don't let it keep going backwards. Again, I'm having a difficult time because I want to speak about personal relationships. Husband and wife, you can apply this all day long. Don't let it cool down. Keep it going. And then the last thing I would submit unto you in drawing nigh to God is instruct. That is, be an example to others. Teach others to develop. Could use the word inspire. Be an inspiration to others to enliven them. Okay, this is what it's like to walk with the Lord. I encourage you to have a lively relationship with Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And I've offered eight things that I believe would be helpful if we would consider to help us draw nigh to Him. But I don't want to leave it there because I want to offer you some other areas wherein you might draw near. And I'm going to take just a few of the points of the eight that I gave you along with the four sub-points. But I think of the church family. Can you draw near to the church family? Can you draw near to your general family? Talk about parents, your siblings. What about the personal family? Parents toward children or grandchildren. You know, there's other family relationships, aren't there? So we have a church family, we have a general family, and we have a personal family. I'm going to say the last one, the best one for last. But yeah, the thing is ought we not draw near? We should, shouldn't we? Think of it this way. Let's use the church family. How's your relationship with the church family? How near are you? And, you give that assessment. How often do you come? How do you know? You know, how well do you know each other? Do you have any concern one for another? Is there any interest, any prayer, any interaction, interface? How are the relationships within your church family? We have to make an assessment of that. But the four things I wanted to see is, well, here you've got to have the insight. Okay, where am I? And my, you know, there are some people who darken the church door once a year. They're members of the church, but they darken once a year. There's not much of a relationship going on there, is there? I wonder what it would be like if I only saw my wife once a year. That's not much. You say, well, you're married, but that's not much of a relationship going on. So in a church relationship, we have to have insight. Well, this is true for general family relationships and personal family relationships. We have to have insight. Where are we? See the need to draw near and then invest. Put forth. Put some effort into it. And that means if I want to draw near to you and you want to draw near to me, we're going to have to interface. We're going to have to interact. We're going to have to invigorate, make it lively. And of course, with constraint, have to be intimate. Have some knowledge, some understanding, likes and dislikes. That's what we get every day with relationships, the co-workers, neighbors. Don't you know what your neighbor's like? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Work co-workers, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Well, it just shows where your relationship is with these kind of people. And all I'm saying to you is if you want to draw near in any of these relationships in life, you're going to have some idea where you're at, and you're going to have to put some investment into it and insist that you do. I want a better church relationship. You know what? You're welcome to hang around here all afternoon if you want. Now, I'm not going to stay all afternoon, but you're welcome to hang and talk and chat. Glad to do so. We'll leave the building unlocked. We'll be glad to come back and see you at 2 o'clock. No problem. But have some. If you want to have some interaction, you can have it. You can have it as much as you wish. And if you choose not to interact, if you choose not to have that kind of relationship, and when the amen is said and you're out the door in 2 seconds and nobody can even say hello to you, that's your business. You can do that if you wish, but you're not going to have much of a relationship. And so, come when you want, leave when you want, but it just depends what kind of relationship you would like to have within a church family. Same is true for a general family. Same is true for a personal family. And so, have some insight, make some investment, insist that it take place, and then have an intent. That is, keep it going, keep it fresh, keep it new. I've had people come and say, well, I'm falling away from church. We need to get back in church and all that. And they do, and then they're, 6 months are gone again. Seen that for years and years and years. And if that happens, the only thing you do is just pray they come back. But we want to see a church relationship grow. We want to see a general family grow. Some of you haven't seen your family members for years. And that's up to you. You can do however you wish. You have to handle that on your own. And some families are so spread out, it's almost impossible to go see everybody all the time. But you understand where your relationship is with your family members. Personal family, children, grand, all that. Let me finish by talking about the spouse. Most of us are married here today. And if I would make a comparison between drawing near to God, and this is why I had a difficult time all the way through there, is not to jump on the area of the spouse because it's such a great illustration. Great application. Drawing near to God, drawing near to the spouse. And I'll tell you, every married couple here today better step back and have some insights. What kind of relationship are we in? Where are we at? Is there a need for us to draw near? There is a tendency, that as the longer people are married, to drift apart. Isn't that what we say? Well, we just drift apart. We've just fallen away from each other. You live in the same house and you see each other every day, but you're just drifting apart. When I was a kid, we went to the Atlantic Ocean, and I remember getting on one of them little rubber rafts and got out there in the Virginia Beach, and just as a little kid, got on one of them little floaty things, wasn't long, I looked up, and I was away from the shore. You know why? Because that current was just taking you out. Slow, minor increments. But before long, you're so far from shore, and I got scared. That's a long way away. And you know what will happen in a marital relationship if you're not careful? Is over time, that current just keeps eddying us away. And we get further and further and further apart, and you don't even really recognize it till one day you look up and you go, man, I don't even know this person anymore. You got to be careful about that. You want to have some insight. Where are we at? How are we doing? See the need to draw near. And then, of course, if you desire to, you're going to have to invest in it. You're going to have to put forth some energy. You know, you did that when you were dating. I compare the dating time to our time now. You know what? We do a lot of things when we were dating we don't do now. Well, we need to invest. Don't let all that drop. Woman's on the other side of the car saying, how come we don't sit together? Well, why do you think? You moved. Somebody's moving here. And so what we need to do is we need to invest. We've got to put forth some effort. And that means we're going to have to interface, communicate, speak to, and that's more than, hi, how are you doing today? I mean, have some conversations. When's the last time you had a conversation with your spouse? And really had a heart-to-heart. How's things going today? And let's talk about your day. And let's talk about your feelings. And let's talk about life. Let's talk about the kids. Let's talk about retirement. When's the last time you really interfaced? You're going to have to interface. You're going to have to interact. You have to do things with. And, a lot of things me and my wife, we share. And so we can do things together. But there are things she wants to do I don't care for. And there are things I want to do she doesn't care for. But you know what? Every now and then she'll do what I want to do and I'll do what she wants to do. And we're going to have to interact. But not just interact and spend some time together with. We have to do things for. Do you ever do anything for your spouse just simply because you want to? Simply because you love them. It's not because, I goofed up and I feel guilty and I need to do. Just do something to make them happy. Please them. Draw near. I mean, what happened to that feeling that you had when you were young and fresh? What happened to that burning heart? You couldn't even be outside of each other's sight. And now you don't even care to talk to them. Why is that? I'll tell you, we've gone, if that's true, we've drifted away. We've fallen apart. And I say, draw near. Draw near. That can happen with God, and that can happen in our spousal relationship. Interface, interact, invigorate, enliven the relationship. I mean, put something forth into this. I want to invest in this and make it intimate. Be close, be personal. Have some, and I'm not using the intimate in the sexual connotation. I'm just saying, get to know each other. And then if the other, that's part of it as well. Draw near. Draw near. And insist that you do so. Make it a point. Don't let yourselves drift away to where you wake up 20 years, 30 years from now and you go, you know what? We don't love each other anymore. We don't care about each other. It really doesn't matter. We're just friends passing in the night. See ya. Don't let that happen. Put some effort into your marriage. Give some investment. And have the intent to keep it going. That's my encouragement to you today. So, and I know some of this doesn't apply to some of you and all that kind of thing, but the drawing near to God does. So let me finish by closing, and I just want to give you this in summary. Draw near to your spouse, drawing near to your children, drawing near to your family, draw near to your church. Yeah, draw near, but most of all, draw near to God. Your greatest investment ought to be a drawing near to God. And I believe with all my heart that drawing near to God will not hinder your other relationships. Drawing near to God will not hinder my relationship with my spouse. In fact, it'll make it greater. If I draw near to God, I will be better toward my wife than I normally am. Draw near to God. I almost said should be. That'd been bad, wouldn't it? Draw near to God. To enhance your relationships, put Jesus first, and you'll see the difference. When was the last time you knew God was moving in your heart? Yeah, that stirred. It was fresh and new. When was the last time? When was the last time you actually pursued your spiritual relationship with the Lord? I mean, you made it, Lord, I'm really on board with you. When was the last time you really sensed that? Let me ask in closing, are you even sure you have a relationship? Now, that's an important question. Because if you're here outside of Jesus Christ, you don't even have a relationship with God. You need one. And Jesus alone is the Savior. And I point you to Jesus. But you know, when I read about what Jesus did for me and the life that he gave and his blood that he shed, he says, greater love hath a man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, I've loved you. You are my friends. You know, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and it's Jesus Christ. I want my relationship with God to be fresh, alive, new. I mean, on board. I want to walk with him. But he hadn't moved. If I'm away from God, I'm the one that moved. I need to be back with him. That's why we're told, draw nigh to God. When you draw nigh, he'll draw nigh to you. And I encourage you, the other relationships of your life, especially a marital relationship, don't let that thing fizzle. Don't let it draw cold. You put some effort into it. Do what you can. Do your part. You say, well, I can't make them do. No, you cannot. You can only do your share. And I've told couples this all through the years. You're only responsible for you. You be everything you can be and see what God will do in the other person. And if they don't change, they don't change. But you are accountable before God. You give it all that you have. And see what God will do. Pray that he'll change it. Make it live. Make it real. Make it invigorating. Make it fresh. I pray that our relationships would improve, whatever relationship it might be today, as God moves in your heart, speaks to you, especially if you're lost, that you might be saved. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience, your kindness. I appreciate your attention, and I pray it's been worth your while to listen today, and I pray that God speaks to your heart. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word, and I pray that you would overcome any frailty of speech that I have. And Lord, that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts. That first of all, we would assess our relationship with you. How are we walking? Lord, reveal that to our hearts. Cause us to be drawn to you. And then we pray in these other relationships that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, that we'd be found faithful to our children, to our spouses, to our family and friends. Lord, cause us to have the kind of relationships we ought to have with them. Let us draw near today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?